Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poyle coming up at 8:30, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Lots going on in the NFL world right now. Derek Carr signing a four-year, $150 million deal, $100 million of which is guaranteed with the New Orleans Saints yesterday. And as we pointed out earlier, a report circulating yesterday from Mike Silver, who's covered the NFL for a long time, that among names being shopped around the league, DeAndre Hopkins, I think we knew about, Jalen Ramsey being shopped, according to him and his sources, and Derrick Henry being shopped around. And according to Mike Silver, his sources were current NFL general managers. So what do you make of the report that Derrick Henry is being shopped around by the Titans? And how does the Derek Carr news affect the quarterback market? We'll get into all that. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Joe, your thoughts on the Derek Henry situation. Obviously, that's been a very popular topic of conversation with Titans fans over the last 24 hours. What do you make of the reports that Derek Henry is, quote, being shopped around the NFL over the course that coming out yesterday from Mike Silver?
Well, I just think it's ripe for overreaction right now, and I'm waiting to see. First of all, I mean, I'm just waiting to see, okay, is this confirmation? Because I didn't see any other confirmation on Bud Dupree moved or released. I expect to probably see that today. I think with Derrick Henry, it could be very, very simple. One conversation inquiring about what he would fetch, and that conversation with the GM who has a conversation with a reporter – who then throws it out in a kind of offhand comment as he's talking about something else, happens all the time. So let's wait and see if there's a little more smoke about a specific team, you know, about an actual conversation that could lead to something. I think that you should look into that if you're Rand Carthon. You should look into what you can get for Tannehill and Henry, and you should decide if you love any of these quarterbacks. And, of course, all of this is in a collaborative way with Mike Vrabel. And
must have collaboration.
That's right, and you should be looking at offensive linemen, and certainly at edges now if Dupree's gone. And there's just I think you have to look at all possibilities. And right now, it's really fascinating to me because I still can't. I mean, I'm still gonna guess strongly that Tannehill, Henry, Simmons are all back, and that they're trying to be good next year, but I don't know that for sure. Right now, it's still – none of the moves they haven't declared themselves yet.
Right.
You know? And it's kind of really interesting. At some point, pretty soon, we're going to get a declaration. Then we're going to have an idea. But they're – I think you're doing a good job of holding the cards close. And some of that is going out there and saying, hey, what about this? What about that? That's what Rand Carthon should be doing.
Well, I think if you're not gathering information and getting a baseline value of where your players are at and what the value is – then you're not doing your job as a general manager. Now, I don't take the report that they're shopping Derrick Henry around as confirmation that they're absolutely trading him. Now, if they get an offer that they like, then maybe that's something you consider.
A couple first-round picks players.
A couple first-round picks and, you know, Patrick Mahomes back, then, yeah, might want to do that.
Well, you know what? I think I'd be fine with Mahomes and just one first-rounder from the Chiefs. I think I'd be okay with that.
I think I'd probably be okay with that, too. But that's the other part of this. Like, the value for Derrick Henry – I don't know exactly what it is. My guess is it's a fourth rounder, maybe a third rounder. Like, I've seen the idea floated out there, like, could the Titans get, you know, a second and, like, a fourth or a second and a fifth or a first-round pick for Derrick Henry? And I just, like, I think that's asinine. Like, no. I don't think there's any way that could happen. So what is the value for Derrick Henry? I don't think there's any harm in figuring that out if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans. Now, if you decide to pull the trigger and trade Derrick Henry, then – that's not going to go over well with the fan base. He's a very beloved figure. Now, to your point earlier, if you're thinking that way, if you're a general manager, probably not going to go well for you. Like, you got to make the moves that you think will help you win eventually. So we'll see what happens on that front. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. So both of you guys, man, and Miss Michelle, y'all put on your GM hats just for a minute. And if you're trying to sell, because it's a business, this is what I told Jared, it's a business, and you have to have some type of, like, presentation to the ticket holders. Like, this is where we're going to go. This is why you should come to our building and pay $150 a ticket and $100 to park and these, you know, crazy asinine concession prices and, you know, waste the whole quarter because you're going to get to see Derrick Henry. So if you take him away, then I remember, man, I can remember, I think it was like 2010 or 11 where the intro video for the season ticket holders was Mark Mariani returning a kick for a touchdown. Because they have anybody else, man. Like, our offense is so – Bishop Sankey. Our offense is, like, so bad, dude. I can keep saying these names that, like, give me this crazy, like, chills, PTSD. Like, I remember these bad teams where you know that it was not getting any better with them. So what are you selling to the ticket holders? Like, you have to have a plan before you decide to trade somebody like Derrick Henry, who I think is probably the best Titan that we've ever had. And so if you're going to trade him, you better – don't just do the Vrabel thing where you go quiet. You better have a plan to sell us at that point.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, look, I understand that. From a fan perspective, that's what you want. Now, if Derrick Henry gets traded, what does that signal to you about what their plan is? Like, it would signal to me, all right, well, maybe they're either taking a step back or they're changing the way their offense operates. One of the two, right? I mean, if you're keeping – like, if you're trading Derrick Henry and you keep Ryan Tannehill, like, what does that mean if you're the Titans? I mean, that would signal to me that you're changing the way your offense operates. Yeah. Otherwise, why are you getting rid of Derrick Henry?
Yeah, that you're going to look more like Tim Kelly's offense. Not that, you know, Ryan Tannehill or Deshaun Watson are all that comparable, but you're going to look more like Houston's offense probably with Tim Kelly as the OC than you look like the Titans the last few years. But here's the thing. I don't think they're going to deal Derrick Henry. I think this is – like, inquiring about his value is so far from that. Also, I hear you, Adam, but you know what you sell? You sell winning. So, that's it, man. That's all that matters. Look, all through sport, Alabama basketball, whatever it is, win. If you win, that's what it is. So, if you believe that you can get something and you've got a plan and that's part of it and ultimately it leads to you winning, the fans will be there. And if you have Derrick Henry and everybody loves him and you go 7-10, tell me how those crowds are going to look next year.
Right. Now, is the plan, if they made the decision to trade Derrick Henry, is the plan to win next year? That would be the question.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Tannehill answers the question.
Right.
Tannehill answers the question. It could be. And certainly, I mean, certainly the online outrage of keep Tannehill, trade Henry would be magnificent.
It would be.
I mean, there'd be a lot. There'd be people who'd probably be like, you know, I don't know, like put like video of them burning their season tickets on video on TikTok or whatever the heck, and put it in a blender. I guess TikTok is a cooking app. So, but
Vrabel's For You page would be no longer be cooking. It'd just be like Titans fans everywhere going nuts,
just shredding.
You just don't even get real
Vrabel
tickets anymore.
Yeah.
Just put your phone in the blender.
Yeah.
Vray-ran would not be very popular. But look, it's, yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, look, I appreciate that there was this little sliver of info from Michael Silver. It's given us a lot to talk about today.
I very
much appreciate it. I don't see, because you look around the league, like what teams out there, first of all, what teams out there want to take on more than $10 million for a running back at his age after a broken foot? Granted, very good season last year, but you did see the home run threats kind of going the other way, right? He's not the home run threat he was.
He's 29.
It was a lot of carries to get those yards. What team out there is looking at, like, we think about their offense and what they have. I saw someone on the text line say, like, the Bills. I mean, look, like, if you're the Buffalo Bills and you had Derrick Henry, sure, I'd take him. But is that, does he fit into what they do? And does that make some huge, I don't, you know, I can't. I'm looking around at some of these teams.
The Eagles?
I will say that, like, an offense that I would be fascinated by with him in it would be, like, the Ravens offense. Like, with Lamar Jackson and with him, that could be interesting, you know? Because they've had some more power backs to go with Lamar Jackson, and it's kind of like the idea of, like, okay, now he's coming right up the gut at you.
Just do that here when the Ravens screw it up with Lamar Jackson.
Well, now there's tomorrow's show.
He will not be on the Ravens called shot quick.
Wow, there you go.
There you go. That's a called shot, really? That's a called shot?
Yeah.
I think it'd be a called shot that he would be on the Ravens.
Really?
Oh, you're talking about Lamar.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Derrick Henry.
I'm like, Joe.
I'm like, I don't think that's a shot. Okay, that's a shot. All right. Sorry. That is a shot. But yeah, I mean, look around the league. Who out there is, I mean, I guess, yeah, because I mean, I'm like, okay, the Cowboys. Or, okay, I will say, kind of like in tandem with the Ravens, the Eagles would be interesting with Derrick
Henry. It'd be pretty interesting.
Eagles, Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown reunited. Oh, man. Winning rings together. But seriously, if you go around this league, and the Packers, you know, I mean, I'm not saying Derrick Henry couldn't be successful at a ton of teams, but how many of these teams would look at him right now in this current state and say, we want to send you a ton so we can pay him $10 million right next year?
Ah, I still think it's a lot.
It's a hard sell. So Rand Carthon asked about it and probably got an answer that told him, yeah, okay, he'll be with us next year. That's probably where this is going.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, how cool would it be to trade Derek and whatever picks needed to get Bryce Young here for the new stadium hype? This is from Heidi from Dixon on the text line. Good to hear from you, Heidi.
Where have you been, Heidi? That's my question.
I don't know.
I'm not going to answer your question. I want to know where the heck you've been, Heidi.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on Derrick Henry. What do you make of him being rumored to being shopped around by the Tennessee Titans? We'll get a little bit deeper into the quarterback market now that Derek Carr has signed a contract as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some passes to give away. A pair of two-day passes to the sold-out Moon River Festival on the banks of the Tennessee River, coming up in Chattanooga September 9th and September 10th, with performances by Goodbye Road, Nickel Creek, Marcus King Band, Judah and the Lion, and more. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets, or a pair of two-day passes, to the sold-out Moon River Festival on the banks of the Tennessee River in Chattanooga, coming up on September 9th and September 10th. 615-737-1025.
What do you think about C from Franklin saying that Vray Ran should actually be one syllable, just be Vran?
I mean, I don't hate it.
Vran?
I think I like Vray Ran better. The Vran's fine. What was the other one?
It was like
Vrabathon?
Yeah, Vrabathon.
Kind
of
like that.
Sounds
one
like
best.
Telethon.
It sounds too much like doing a sack race for charity and then trading Derrick Henry for a stuffed animal.
Well done.
Thank you. But, I mean, look, I appreciate the attempt. Vran. Yeah, it's just a little. Yeah, I think you need the Vray-Ran. I'm sorry.
Vray-Ran's good.
Thank you, though. It's worth a thought.
I reject you kindly. Thank you, though. Got a texter that says, this is the greatest opportunity we've ever had to tank and get our quarterback of the future. We're already well on our way. We just have to start Malik Willis next year or Tannehill without Henry, and boom. If we do that, we don't have to sell the farm to move up for a quarterback this year. Now, there's part of that I agree with, and part of that I don't. I still think even without, like, if Derrick Henry doesn't play for the Titans and they traded him, I still think with Tannehill as your quarterback, if you made some other moves this offseason, you could be...
You'd win too much.
You'd win too much to be in the sweepstakes for the quarterback race next year.
Let's all recall, it was all of 2 years ago, and Derrick Henry broke his foot, and then the Titans still got the one seed and won huge, huge games, several of them, without Derrick Henry.
Now, they did have A.J. Brown.
They did have A.J. Brown. This is a very good point, and he was a big part of that. But, yeah, again, like you said, if you fix it, I mean, like, if you're going to go the Fank route, then don't have Tannehill.
Yeah, why would Tannehill be your quarterback? Yeah. That's the, like, if you're...
He's too good. He is much better than the other options that are around right now.
If the plan for the Titans is to rebuild and it's to not be good and you're trading Derrick Henry, then why in the world would you not trade Ryan Tannehill too? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. Yeah, you actually... And you'll get quite a bit more back for Tannehill, whether people want to believe that or not. Also from Clarksville says, but the real question is, what's your take on Jared's, quote, the Titans have no money because of the stadium stance, end quote. Despite Jared's fantasies, I didn't hear him with this take, so I can't give you a comment on that because I haven't heard it. Sometimes people take things too far, Sometimes I don't take them far enough, and his take is even wackier than that sounds. But maybe does this relate to like Henry? Who I don't know. I don't know the take, but but it's funny. Let me just say,
I think we need to hear
it's
it.
Funny. Okay. Well, maybe this week he'll regale us with some more great takes. Like, you know, Mike, if you're a quarterback, Mike, why would you ever come to the Titans?
Yeah.
Vrabel's a great coach, but, you know, any quarterback here would totally not be able to even throw a forward pass. But he's a great coach.
Got a texter that says, are we sure that Derek Carr is that much better than Dalton or Winston? Seems like an expensive move from an Accord to a Camry. Easy on the Accord jokes. Calm down.
Honda Accords. I love Honda
Accords. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Derek Carr signs a deal with the Saints. 4 years, $150 million, $100 million of which is guaranteed. And we talked about this earlier. Like, that does change the quarterback market because I've long thought that for the Jets specifically, it's going to be either Rodgers or it's going to be Carr. And now Carr has signed with the Saints, and Rodgers still has not figured out, I guess, what in the world he's doing. Whether that's retiring, coming back to the Packers, going to play for the Jets or elsewhere, that decision's not been made. So, I mean, now if you're the Jets, if it's not Rodgers, well, who is it at quarterback? Like, are you going to go sign Jimmy G and roll the dice that way?
I mean, you don't have to give anything up, I guess. I mean, maybe you think he's comparable to Tannehill.
Maybe. I mean, you could do that. I'm just saying if it's not Rodgers for the Jets at this point, your options are pretty limited as to what you've got out there. And could Ryan Tannehill be of interest to the Jets if they don't end up landing Aaron Rodgers? I think he could be. Now, beyond the fact that Todd Downing is there, like you're looking around, you're looking for a quarterback that is a clear upgrade on what you had a year ago and that also, you know, can help you win with this roster that you feel good about being a proven commodity. Like, there's not a whole lot of those guys out there that are available. And I'm not saying Ryan Tannehill is available. Maybe he's not. But I'd be calling if I was the Jets and they don't end up landing Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I think if that happens, and I'm still picking him to be with them, but if for whatever reason that happens, then I think you have to consider the possibility that they might be willing to give up something significant for him. You got Baker. You got Jimmy. You got trade for Tannehill. What else could there be? What else could there be out there? I mean, first of all, to the texture's point, I think he's a pretty significant upgrade. Carr, that is, over the guys they had last year.
Yes. They're a playoff team with Derek Carr.
Yeah, especially in that division.
Especially in that division.
But it's really probably those three quarterbacks, right? Basically, and of course the Raiders need a quarterback, and you know some of these teams are going to draft. Like the Panthers, I think, are going to draft one, but. Yeah.
Colts going to draft one. Texans going to draft one.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's probably those three guys if you're the Jets, if you get left without Rodgers, and you are definitely in a situation where you need a proven quarterback. And I understand the Tannehill slander, the Tannis slander. Jeff from Tennessee says, Tannehill too good? Four laughing emojis. You're funny. Yeah, I mean, I understand, like, Tannehill's not the greatest quarterback in the league, but you follow the Tennessee Titans and you think he's just total hot garbage?
Well, the question is, amazing. If you have Tannehill as your quarterback, are you going to be bad enough to get in the number one or number two overall pick discussion?
Right.
And you're not going to be.
That's what we're talking about. And, yes, he is, I'd say, too good for that. He's done a lot of winning and actually playing really well here. I don't know if you noticed.
Right. I mean.
Now, like someone like, oh, without Henry, you know, Tannehill, you're going to take. Again. They got the one seed without Henry, with Tannehill. Yes, with A.J. Brown, too.
I'm just saying, like, it's if you're going rebuild, you want to be as bad as possible next year.
Yeah, he could screw you up.
He could definitely screw
you up. 17 could mess you up a little bit. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens on that front. From the quarterback standpoint, like, it feels like now the next domino, now that Carr is signed, it's got to be Rodgers, and then you figure out what goes on after that. Like, I would assume, you know, Rodgers went on the Aubrey Marcus podcast last week and talked about several things, one of which was he's not that far away from a decision. What does that mean in Aaron Rodgers lingo? I have no idea. But
make a decision.
I would assume that's coming. I mean, free agency is a week from tomorrow. So I would assume that's coming at this week, would be my guess.
Yeah, we need it. Yeah, please. Let's start to figure this out, Aaron. You're holding everybody up, and I know you love it.
I do love the first part.
Whether you say you don't love it or not, you know you love it.
I do love the first part of the offseason. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to drag this thing out. Like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
You and I got different definitions of that. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poyle. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 8:30, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators General Manager David Poyle, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. David, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We're awesome. Great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, David, now that the trade deadline is in the rearview mirror, what do you make of the moves that you've made and the position that you've taken the organization now that the deadline is behind you?
I think we're in really good shape. I know we have to have some improvement here with our current team. I'm really happy the way we're playing, by the way. But, you know, it's going to be a battle to make the playoffs. As I said, you know, my press conference is after the trade deadline. I think we've taken a step backwards to hopefully and quickly take a couple of steps forward. Just breaking it down, you know, quickly, I think, I do the show every week, and you know, the last month or so, you know, you've been asking every week, like, what are we? Are we a buyer or seller? And I think we clearly know that we were a seller. You know, came to a conclusion in January with our organization, all our scouts, hockey ops people, that it was time to take this step backwards to see whether we could, you know, get some more assets from the draft, some younger players, and. You know, it was good. I'm proud of the fact that we've made the playoffs for the last 8 years, but we just haven't been able to be a good enough team to think or to be able to win a round in the playoffs. And I think what we've accomplished here is, you know, with the draft specifically, having 13 picks this year, a couple of first round picks, three second round picks, having an extra first round pick in 25, that we now have the assets which we can either use it in drafting or change those assets, those draft picks into players. The second part of this is Milwaukee. As we always say, the road to Nashville is through Milwaukee, and next year we'll have 5 first round picks in Milwaukee, which to me means that if we've drafted correctly within the next couple of years, we'll have a really significant turnover and I really have a good up-and-coming young team. And then the third part to me is our own Predators team. I think it's actually maybe better than people maybe are giving credit for. You're starting to see the emergence of some of our younger players on a consistent basis. Tommy Novak, Glass, last night, Luke Evangelista gets his first two goals, given an opportunity. That would never have happened at this point if we hadn't made the trades that we did. Tyson Barry has been a terrific addition for us, a veteran player that replaces Ekholm, but a different type of player that more complements Roman Josi. You know, he got the winning goal the game before in Chicago. He assisted on the tying goal last night. So I just think we're going in the right direction. It was a difficult decision for sure. But I feel very happy with where the team is right now, positioned to be one of the more improving teams in the National Hockey League real soon.
You mentioned Evangelista, David. He's been a fast riser. He does not look out of place, of course. What's his ceiling as a player, do you think?
Well, he's a little undersized in terms of his weight, you know, right now. So we obviously like to get him a little bit bigger and stronger if that's possible. But you know, he's a goal scorer. He's a point producer. He's been that his whole career in junior hockey. The year before, he scored over 50 goals in London. He's got a little bit of a pedigree. He's a nephew of Brendan Shanahan, formerly with, as the Predators fans would remember, from the Detroit Red Wings. But I think Shanahan ended up is probably still the leading scorer against the Predators of all time. So maybe that's a little deja vu for us to have his nephew come and play for us.
Predators General Manager David Poyle with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And, you know, you mentioned Evangelista coming up and playing really well, the Barry trade that's taking place. I'm just curious, from your perspective, gaining the assets that you all have gained over the course of the past week and a half,
How much differently does that help you, I guess, view the options that you have moving forward as a team, as an organization? Obviously, with Barry Trotz coming in this summer and taking over the reins at general manager, how much different, I guess, is the table now set with the moves that you've made, in your opinion?
I think it puts us in a position to be involved in anything and everything. One other thing that I didn't mention is because of trading some of these veteran players away and the higher price players, we now have a lot of cap space that other teams don't have. As you know, the cap is probably only going to go up $1 million this year, and there's a lot of teams are up against it and actually could be, you know, have to, you know, rid themselves of some players. So I think from being in a great cap position, having a really strong farm club, and having as many draft picks as anybody, that puts you in a position to be involved in any and every situation, trade, player acquisitions that there is out there.
So you guys are, as you said, David, playing well. You're still, you know, pushing to make the playoffs. If it went the other way, which of course sometimes it does when teams sell and go younger, you could potentially be in position. You have the draft here. You have a ton of picks, what, 13 picks? You also could be in position to be in the lottery for the number one pick. I'm just wondering, from your perspective on Connor Bedard, is he one of those guys? I mean, it seems people seem to believe he is. The highlights I see are outrageous. Like, what do you think he is in the NHL down the line?
Yeah, I like the way you said that. I think he's one of those guys. He's got that it factor. I mean, statistically, he compares and is better than almost all the greats, from Sidney Crosby, Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, who played major junior hockey in Canada, as where Bedard plays. He's equaled, if not beat, all their statistics. You know, I think he's just going to be. I think he's going to be a superstar. I think he's going to be one of those guys that can come in and play when he's 18 years old. So whoever gets him is going to be real lucky, and whoever gets him is their franchise is going to have a quick upward trajectory, real, real fast. So that's, you know, we're a long way from, you know, being in the, you know, to win the lottery to get the number one pick. But and I like the way we're playing. So, you know, again, it's, you can't have it. You can't have it both ways at the moment.
David, I'm curious, just your viewpoint on your defensemen, both now that are currently on the roster and what you've got coming up in the pipeline. Obviously, when you make a move like trading Matthias Ekholm, that changes what your defense core is. What do you make of how your defense is currently constructed and maybe what you've got coming up as well?
The way we are right now, I mean, I don't think we've had a strong year back there, but I think we have, you know, really good pieces. Now, I think the addition of Barry really balances out our defense, you know, better, especially from an offensive standpoint. So you got three veterans and Yossi, McDonough, and Barry, and then you've got, you know, younger guys, but maturing guys like Fabro and Carrier and Lauzon. So I think we're going to be good on defense. I think we have some growth, hopefully, you know, with Lauzon a little bit more in terms of his physical play. Carrier, who's had a really tough year from a lot of injuries. Fabro, we just re-signed, but admittedly, I don't think he's had a strong year, so our expectations for him are going to be a little bit more next year. So I think we're fine at the moment, but as far as, you know, having elite prospects at defense, that's probably the area that we need to work on the most. It would be ideal if in the drafts, for example, our first picks, you know, were a defenseman, or one would be a defenseman. That doesn't always line up that way, but that would be, you know, we're going to draft the best player, as they say, in every, you know, in the draft. But ideally, if it lined up to be a defenseman, that would probably be, would probably lean that way.
So are you really telling other GMs, hey, this is your last chance to make a deal with David Poile? I think that's a good play.
I did that at the last few days of the trade deadline, and we got a lot of laughs on that one. But well, the award goes to Kevin Adams with the Buffalo Sabres. Just a few minutes before 2 o'clock our time, we made a trade, giving up our seventh pick in 25 for Rasmus Asplund, who's played a couple of games for us. So I guess it does count, though, if I make some more trades, you know, at the draft or in June. So We'll see what we can do. If we can make that last one a really good one.
Yeah, there's still some more time. No question about it. David Poyle, our guest here on Robbie and Rex.
There's another Rasmus from Buffalo. Try to get him.
David Poyle.
Yeah, that's right. That's the wrong Rasmus.
That's right. David, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Predators General Manager David Poyle, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman and Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. Way to go, Rex Road.
Did you hear that phone? Oh, yeah. That guy? So Ron Hextall. Hey, is the deadline happened? I'd like to give you a first-round pick for Matt Duchene, please.
David, is the deadline passed? How official is that deadline? Thanks, Ron.
The landline ringing back there. Ron Hextall's got the landline number.
this Mikhail Granlund trade's working out real well. Fan base is very excited. Let's keep it going. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators, take your thoughts on the Titans. Everything on the table coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Make sure you join 1025 The Game live from the Rusty Nail on Friday, March 17th for the opening round of the tournament. Enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts or draft beers while watching some hoops during a St. Patrick's Day celebration. St. Patrick's Day, a whole lot of fun. The Rusty Nail is located in Hermitage and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts as well, plus great drinks and food, especially the wings. That's 1025 The Game live at the Rusty Nail in Hermitage on Friday, March 17th. Doors open at 10 a.m. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Thanks to David Poyle for being with us in the last segment. I spent the entire break laughing at your Ron Hextall joke.
David, it's Ron! How about 3 first-round picks for Johansson and Duchene?
David,
the deadline.
This Mikhail Granlund doesn't have a point in either game, and we gave up the second-round draft pick and $5 million a year for the next 2 years. What is this?
Like, yeah, Ron. David, can I get your cell number? Why do I just have the landline number? I was disappointed that David Poyle did not really answer at all the question about Evangelista. He's still playing the – because to me now, you can just say stuff like what you think his ceiling is as a player. Did you notice how he didn't answer the question?
Yeah. He did. He's a
very
pro.
Crafty. I know. But, I mean, this is the time when he can answer questions like that.
I feel like he has been giving a little bit more, though.
Well, he said maybe in a weird way. He was like, he's Brendan Shanahan. He talked about being related to Brendan Shanahan. Maybe he's, like, he's Brendan Shanahan.
Well, we could conflate those things and make a headline out of it. Also, Alex Carrier's name to David Poyle is the Tennessee Titans to Michelle.
Guys!
It's Carrier, and it's not Titans. It's Titans. I don't know why I decided to attack you.
Well, his name. So there's
and Tannehill to some people.
There's that too.
Oh, Teresa's got the Tannehill. It's never going to like. Yeah. It's been years.
We all have it. We all have something.
We pronounce everything perfectly in here.
Oh, Mr. Schiatico over there.
All right.
Well, there's that.
Well, you know.
Oh, man. Bryant from Memphis on the text line says, Luke Evangelista is the real deal. I can't wait till the roster is fully healthy so we can see what they really have now. I think they could use more defensemen. Cal Foot, early returns aren't great. Not that he's a top four defenseman, but we could use another. Actually really liking Aslan's game. I've seen him break up a lot of plays. That dude wins a lot of puck battles. The Cal Foot part of it's not going great. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. I don't know exactly what they have there. Look, Evangelista, he looks really good out there. Now, I agree with Poyle. Like, he's going to have to get bigger. Like, he's at some point, the punishment that you take getting to the areas that are required to score goals, like, you
got
to get
there. But he got to that area last night.
He got to that area twice last night and scored 2 goals. I'm just saying, the kid has, I said it earlier, I guess moxie's the right word. He's got a little bit of it to him, which I like.
You like the edge.
I like a lot of what I've seen from him thus far. And he got you on the board yesterday in Preds Pick to Click, so there's that too.
Yeah, I like him even more.
Coy in Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, So are we retooling or rebuilding with all these rumors? Talking about the Titans. I get that it's just rumors, but what's going on? This is from Corey from Clarksville.
Tannehill will tell the story. That's it. You know, you can move Derrick Henry and not necessarily be rebuilding. And I understand people would be upset they moved Derrick Henry. I don't think they are. It doesn't really make sense to me given his fit here, his performance last year, and the return that I think would be quite underwhelming compared to what people think. I mean, I guess if he was part of some deal, like we've thrown out that we haven't talked enough about today, the Jeffrey Simmons, a bunch of picks for Bryce, you know, the number one pick in Bryce Young, which should be Bryce Young. I mean, I guess you could draft someone else with that. But, I mean, I guess could Henry be thrown in there too? I guess. But
it change the formula all that much? I don't think so.
Exactly. I mean, the Bears already – would be taking on a great player in his prime and then a big deal there. So you're adding a lot to your cap. And do they want to take on $10 million of Derrick Henry as well? Probably not. So I think Derrick Henry will be here. I think this is much ado about nothing. I think that the Ryan Tannehill decision is going to tell you the story of rebuilding or thinking they're good enough next year to win again.
By the way, Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, who we'll have on the show tomorrow, just put this out too, and it's, I think, an important point to bring up. Just an FYI, Bud Dupree is not cut yet. Ian Rappaport's tweet said, expected to be released. Surely June 1st designation is not dead as a possibility. Otherwise, why the wait? This is from Paul Kaharsky. It is fascinating that Rappaport put that out there yesterday, and that nothing has really happened yet.
Well, yeah, but see, when he says why the wait, I think what this may be is that Rappaport got wind that they're considering it or they're going to do it or whatever, and he put it out early. And the wording says expected. That's why we have that. I mean, I couldn't get it confirmed. I didn't see anybody else get it confirmed. And the Titans did not put out their little email that says transactions. Bud Dupree, you know, will that happen today? I don't know.
I don't know. Bud Dupree put out a tweet that says, man, you got to find out on Twitter. And now that's been deleted too. So
right.
Maybe they called Bud and was like, hey, man.
You're not cut.
You're not cut yet.
I don't know. The whole thing is, it's premature reportation.
Oh boy,
that's a new one.
Yes, which means it's about time to end the show.
The only one that is absolutely retired from now on.
Yes. By the way, Heidi, why has she been gone so long? Said I've been waiting for a girl like you. Sorry, Joe. I like that song. I've been waiting for big news to text in about. Thank you. We don't talk enough about Foreigner songs in this show.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you very much.
She also says over-under for Titans trades, 2.5 in her book, including the draft. 2.5 trades.
Okay.
I'm going to take the under on that, but I can see a couple.
That's a lot of trades. Matt from Clarksville on the text line says, as a lifelong Colts fan, I'm perplexed by the Titans shopping Henry. They've owned this division, and while I think the Colts are trending better for the near future, which is interesting, they still have questions. This makes no sense.
Oh, do you now? A lot of Colts fans weighing in today. Indy Ben jumped in today, laughing about the Titans being a contender. Again, the contender thing is just a question of, I mean, this to me has to guide your decisions if you're the Titans. Do you think you can be a contender? If you don't think so,
then what are you doing?
Exactly. Don't sign up.
As much as we talk about Vrabel not being in for a rebuild, which we've talked about that. Like, I can't see Mike Vrabel being enthusiastic about. Yep. Let's tear this thing down and start all over. Like, do you think Vrabel is also like, yeah, let's just bring guys back for the sake of it and go 9-8 next year or 8-9? That sounds fun. Let's do that.
I just want to be okay.
Right?
Can we just be okay?
Like we talk so much.
7-10. Let's get up to 8-9.
We talk so much about Vrabel not wanting to go through a rebuild and the losing that takes place. Do you think he wants to sit here at 9-8 or 7-10 for the next 2 years either? Like, that doesn't sound fun to me either. If I'm Mike Vrabel,
no. And everybody in this league knows that. Here and there, I mean, you have to accept some pain to move forward, you know, depending on where you are in the timeline of a lot of different players and contracts. So Vrabel will, as a coach, he will do everything he can every week to figure out how to win. But that doesn't mean that as an organization they can't collaboratively decide that they've got to go back a little bit to go forward.
Well, and there are limitations on what you can do. I mean, we found that as great as I still believe Mike Vrabel is as a head coach, and I still think he's really good. But, I mean, they just lost 7 in a row. There are limitations on what he can do.
Also, any quarterbacks who come here will be turned into fullbacks because you couldn't possibly develop a quarterback with Mike Vrabel as your head coach.
I've seen a lot of the
sarcasm.
Well, we've talked about the idea of Malik Willis being the quarterback if they're trying to tank next year. There's a whole lot of what I would refer to as, I think, serious thought to giving Joshua Dobbs the starting quarterback job next year from the text line today. And I've seen that since the season ended, and I can't get there. I don't know what we're doing.
Well, unless you're fanking.
Well, then why not just go with Malik Willis?
Yeah.
At least, like, you have a chance. Like, maybe Malik Willis, I know it sounds crazy, but maybe, like, at least there's a chance maybe he works out. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's our quarterback. Like, don't we know what Josh Dobbs is?
Yes.
He's a backup.
Yes. No, you're right.
I think Malik Willis is a backup at best, but.
Yeah, that's true. If you're going to see, here's your chance. You could see. And, yeah.
Could go spectacularly worse with Malik Willis that could accelerate the tank.
It could be a better Frank.
Just saying. I don't understand the thought process of having Dobbs as your starting quarterback. That makes no sense to me.
Speaking of fanking, David Poyle sounded like he thinks Connor Bedard is pretty good.
He did. Now, he also said that they're a ways away from the draft lottery and that he likes the way that they're playing.
It's not too late to bleep the bed for Bedard.
Give yourself that nice 2% chance.
Hey, we'll all be watching that day. All of Preds fandom will be watching that day if they have a chance.
Be pretty good.
Just hope the Blackhawks don't get him as the draft is here in Nashville.
That would be something. If he ended up in like
the
Columbus.
Chorus of boos that night.
Oh, man.
If they are sitting there with the one pick when he gets picked.
If he ended up in like Columbus or Arizona, my first thought would be, man, sorry, kid. But the second thought would be, hey, there you go. Have at it. Columbus in the other conference. Just have at it, man.
That would be fun.
Knock yourself out. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Rope. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.